I think anyone listening to this now, if you think you're going to listen to this podcast and you're going to nail it, you definitely are naive. Hey everyone, welcome to the DC Practice Growth Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about what you should be doing at this time of the year. You know, there's time for sowing, there's a time for reaping, there's a time for different seasons in the business. And what I love about this time of year is this time of the year determines how successful we are in 2020. And what a lot of businesses are missing is the opportunity to bed down now. Most people start this stuff in January. It's way too late. We are done. Almost end of November, halfway through December, we've done our annual planning. So I just wanted to run through that today. I've got my managing director of my business, Quinton, here. He's an absolute rock star. I always say, you know, the thing about this podcast is I'm in the game. I'm doing it right now. We're doing it right now. Yep. We have 8 offices turning over £5.25 million every single year, consistently for quite a few years now. Been running offices for over 10 years in some way, shape, or form. And today's a really exciting one for me because here's the thing when I see practice owners. So Quinton is involved in many of my businesses, my consulting business, my bricks and mortar business. But one of the biggest things that I see when it comes to, it doesn't matter whether it's a practice, whether it's, what it doesn't matter what type of business it is that people don't think of their business like a business. I truly believe a business is a panacea. People way smarter than me and you, way for many, many, many years, way in front of us, have businesses way more successful than us, run businesses in a certain way, and people just miss that and try and make it up themselves. We are some of the most unoriginal businessmen in the world. Yep. We like to copy, model other successful businesses. And one thing's for certain, successful businesses have quarterly planning meetings and annual planning meetings. So we've just finished our annual planning meetings in quite a few of my businesses.
Yes.
So tell us, why do you think an annual planning meeting, so we do quarterly meetings and then we do an annual planning meeting, which is kind of a different structure. I will give you guys some resources for that in a moment. Why do you think it's so important to do something like that?
From an annual perspective, it's a chance to look back at the entire year that's passed so you can identify trends, see what's worked, what's not worked, and from that, you can plan for the year ahead. It gives you the blueprint for the year, and okay, without that blueprint, you're kind of fumbling in the dark.
Yeah.
You're not planning correctly for things to grow because that's what you want.
Yeah.
With that structure in place, you can really grow your business.
Yeah, nice. And who's involved typically in an annual planning meeting? Okay.
It's our leadership team that's involved.
Yeah.
So as a visionary, there's an integrator. We've got our finance director or our finance seat, our operations seat, and our marketing seat, and then some of the other people that are involved in smaller bits.
Yeah, so interesting. Whenever I work with practice owners, the minute we start talking about this, so let's be clear, this is not a meeting with the entire team, although it can be depending on the size of your business. This is a meeting with the leadership team. But whenever we start talking like this, this is the number one thing that happens with a small business. They start thinking that their teams are too small to do this. Now, for context, I have multiple businesses. In one of my businesses, we've only got 2 or 3 full-time team members, and we still did and you were there with us.
Yep.
We still did the annual planning meeting. Again, this is going to sound, in some way, shape, or form, people try to think too much, or they give themselves too much credit for how smart they are, and we're exactly the opposite. If a credible source tells us to run an annual meeting or a quarterly meeting, I just do it, even if it's done badly.
Yeah.
To be clear, the key sentence there is even if it's done badly. And one of my keys to running our business is, you know, the worst saying in business is, if you want something done properly, or if you're going to do something, do it. If you're not going to do something properly, don't do it at all. That's the worst saying in business. If you're not going to do something properly, don't do it at all. I'll tell you why that's the worst saying in business, is that if something's important to do, it's important that it gets done, whether it's done badly or not. And some of you watching this right now are going to have shivers up your spine, even with that statement. But I promise you, you're going to have way more progression, understanding that if a fundamental thing has to happen, even if it's done badly, it's important that it gets done. So how long did it take us to get into a rhythm with these quarterlies and things?
I think we're now coming to that 2 year point.
Yeah.
And it was at the beginning when we ran it, it was messy as all hell.
Yeah.
We were given a broad outline that somebody had facilitated us through.
Yeah.
And then to apply it ourselves, it wasn't good at the beginning.
No.
And our rocks weren't great and our prediction wasn't that good, but now we're in that rhythm. We still make mistakes.
Yeah.
It's still not perfect, but it is so good that we're doing them.
You spoke about prediction there. It's one of the keys of leadership, to be able to predict.
Yeah.
When you first start predicting in your annuals, you start predicting, we're going to run through, I'll run through a bit of a structure with you now, but when we still first started predicting, meaning what are our projections for the next year, for the next quarter, for 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, yep, you heard that correctly. We do a 10-year prediction exercise. So a lot of you are going, how is that even possible? It was tough for us too. So talk a little bit about our prediction ability when we first started this.
Horrendous is basically it. Like we started, we thought we knew our numbers in the business. And this is where it really taught us so much. You think you know the numbers, but you really don't.
Mm.
And it's only when you really start breaking it down and you really start tracking and you clean your data that you actually see what's going on. And that allows you to predict better.
I'll guarantee you the first time anyone does one of these meetings, and if this doesn't happen to you, you're just not looking at the numbers. You're not looking at enough numbers.
Yeah.
But the first time you look at the numbers, it's a dog show.
Complete. Because you think, this is what we're doing, this is how much we're charging. And when you slowly break it down, you see you're completely off the mark. So your prediction is completely
wrong. Or you think you know, and you do. And we're disciplined with looking at weekly numbers in our business. But when you have a bit more time and you allocate 2 days, by the way, an annual traditionally is 2 days. We do get an annual, we can get an annual done in a full day, starting very, very early, finishing very, very late. We now have a bit more experience, but an annual is a 2 day affair normally, you know. Quarterlies are one full day affairs. They are big. But when you give yourself that much time to really look a lot more granular, if you're not finding a lot of shit in the business, it just means you're not looking.
Yeah.
And one of the things I love about what we've learned through the process of building multi-million pound businesses is the concept of, if you're not finding shit in the business, it means that you're not looking. Every business has those challenges. And I remember it's a bit of an ego thing, you know. You want to walk out of a meeting going, there wasn't that much challenges. And this is one of the most powerful sentences I've ever heard. The bigger the issues list, the bigger the list of shit you found, the healthier the business.
Absolutely.
The healthier business. But that's a weird mind shift because you know, you wanna put less things, because we run through an exercise with you at the moment. There's an exercise we do which we pull issues out of, and it's a brain dump, right? If it's in here, it's festering, it's causing you stress. We want to brain dump it onto something, and we've got that everyone can see. And our biggest lesson was when we first starting that doing that exercise, there's definitely ego involved. There's definitely not wanting, you know, you think, the less stuff we put on there, the healthier business, but it's the opposite. And then when people really start getting it, I mean, you start vomiting out all the possible issues. Most importantly, everyone's hearing it and we're dumping it on a board.
Yep.
So the longer the issues list, the better. That's been a bit of a learning curve for us. But also, we really embrace it now, and boy, do we search for issues, and boy, are we upfront with finding out issues. So before we get too in depth in the process, what I'm going to do is let's run through a basic agenda.
Yep.
A basic agenda of what we do in an annual, and then that'll just give you guys some understanding. Before I do that, I think anyone listening to this now, if you think you're going to listen to this podcast and you're going to nail it, you definitely are naive. And what I mean by that is, this is going to point you in the right direction. It's going to help you a lot. But boy, and even if you do it badly, you're doing it better than 90% of businesses on the planet. But boy, please don't think you're going to do it. So here's some resources for you, right? The Mac Daddy when it comes to structuring a business is a guy by the name of Vern Harnish. Go read all of Vern Harnish's stuff. He wrote a book called Mastering the Rockefeller Habits, and then he wrote an updated, more robust version called Scaling Up. You've got to read them both. One of our biggest influencers also, who's taken a lot of his influences from Vern, by the way, is a guy by the name of Gino Wickman. Go read his book called Traction, and there's a few sister books. There's a simplified version for your team to read. Very handy. It's a heavy book. for a lot of people. So it's very handy for the business owner to read traction. Then get your team members to read a book called What the Heck.
Yep.
It's called What the Heck is EOS, Entrepreneur Operating System. I'm just going to give a shout out to those people because they've helped us all in our business. And then without a doubt, one of the biggest influences when it comes to structure and business coaching is a guy by the name of Dan Sullivan, also from The Strategic Coach. You need to go and devour their books. You know, one of my biggest mentors in business is a guy by the name of Dan Kennedy. You need to go read all of his books. Now, notice that I haven't said too many practice owner type books. Why? Very few practice owners. I don't care whether you're a chiropractor, dentist, doctor, osteopath, I don't care, have actually scaled into a business. Now, here's the definition of a business. A profit-making enterprise that can work without you. So if you, now before we do this annual, what I want to set context with, if you start looking at your business like this, if you're a business owner, I want you to start thinking of paying yourself as you would an associate and then taking that out of everything and then work out what your profit margins is. Now you're starting to work out responsible business. Because ultimately, if someone's going to purchase you, that's what they're going to do. They're going to take your turnover and they're going to say, how would we delineate that out of the, like de-risk the business if I'm purchasing you? If we consider you as an associate, what is left, that's the true profit margin in your business. That doesn't mean, I know you're going to make a lot more money because your profit margin is so much higher because you are the operator. But as Warren Buffett said, if you do not find a way to make money while you sleep, you'll work to the day you die. And this is one way to start thinking it. All businesses need to start with the end in mind, meaning one day someone's going to want to come along and give you some money for your business. All right? One day. So you've got to start thinking about that now. And you can fight me on this, but I promise you right now, the businesses that do, whether they ever sell or not, have better businesses. It's not about the selling if you ever sell. It's just that straight away, if you take yourself out of the business, pay yourself as a, if you pretend you're paying yourself as an associate, what would be left as a profit margin? That is going to be my, the biggest takeaway from this podcast. So let's run through an annual. We get together, we plan it way in advance. We start at 8 a.m. So run through, the first structure is, don't forget, everyone's got different lives. The first thing we do is we come together and do a what?
Well, first is setting the correct context.
Yeah.
Making sure that everybody's on the same page so that everybody focuses in on the room. Make sure that everybody understands the rules for the day. Phones out of the room. No distractions. Make sure everybody knows that you're in the meeting so they're not trying to contact you. And then the person leading the meeting just sets those rules out, gets everybody's agreement, and then you can start the day.
Key rules. If there are three key rules, what are they on a day like this? I'll add a few, but we have there's kind of a couple that are going to set you up for a win.
One thing that we always start with is there's only one conversation at a time.
Big.
So if somebody's speaking and somebody else interrupts, the person running the meeting just needs to control that.
And we sucked at this at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
We still suck at it at times, but that means we've got someone in the meeting holding this thing accountable. So one conversation at a time.
One conversation at a time. The other thing is, and we set this as a rule, enjoy being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, we have heated discussions and everybody needs to feel that they're safe in that environment. So just set that context. It's okay to be uncomfortable, enjoy being uncomfortable. And then the third, for me, the biggest rule is stay offline.
Yeah. So we have it's non-essential tech, no essential, like you can have all tech away. So make sure there's no phones, no computers, no everything on the table. Big.
We've got a calculator, pen and paper, really. That's how we do it.
Yeah,
that's
big.
What's allowed.
Big. Context, you know, we were saying the problem is never the problem. So context is set. Then we go into whether it's a weekly meeting or a quarterly meeting, we always do some type of check-in.
Yep.
A quarterly meeting or weekly meeting or an annual, they all vary a little bit, but we'll just give you a little bit of understanding from our annual we run through.
So the first thing is everybody writes down separately and everybody's quiet is what are the three business greats of the year? What are the three things that have gone really well in the business? Then what's one personal great or one personal win for the year? And then what's one unexpected win or great?
Cool. And of those three, if we talk about a weekly meeting, start the same way, we do a check-in. Yeah. And a weekly meeting, we just talk about our personal and professional wins, right? It's just a check-in. Everyone's in different lives, and then you all get together and you're present and you talk about that for a few minutes. But what I love about the annual is that unexpected win. Because what happens in business is we've got goals, we've got things we want to achieve, and then most of the time we achieve them and then we're on to the next. We never stop to actually save the moment. The thing about the unexpected wins is you might say something and then it's like clockwork. Someone else in the meeting goes, oh, do you know how cool it was that we got our booking rate to 70%? You're like, wow, that is awesome. And then somebody else says, remember how cool it is that we now get X amount of new patients from this source. At the beginning of the year, we weren't getting any. You're like, oh man, that's awesome. And then someone goes, yeah, at the beginning of the year, we really said we wanted to make sure X amount of people are on some type of membership. And then you go, oh, we achieved that. Amazing. But you know, it's next. We don't ever save in the moment. That's kind of the nature of the beast. That's also what makes us successful. But we need to it just helps us savor it. So I really enjoy that unexpected.
Yeah.
Once we've done a check-in, then we move on to?
It's a review of the previous year. That's where your scorecards really come into play.
Yeah.
So you review the scorecards for the entire year.
Nice.
The first time we did it was a very broad scorecard. Now we're going to get into finer details. So almost every section brings a little scorecard with them.
Someone might be listening to the first time that I know what a scorecard is. We're going to do loads of work on this. I'll do a whole podcast on just a scorecard. Mm-hmm. But a scorecard was popularized by Dan Sullivan from The Strategic Coach. And essentially it is... The stories of measuring, you know, there's so many cliches, but it's the truth. We have a saying, whatever you want to improve, you've got to measure.
Yep.
So you start measuring and you start measuring what you can cope with. And then as your team starts growing, you start going more granular. And then you go, how granular is granular enough? And it's never granular enough, right? It's never granular enough. So on a weekly basis, we look at kind of like a 5 to 7 numbers that would give us the best indication of the health of the business. On a quarterly, it's similar type numbers. Yep. On an annual, we go a little more in depth and we break it down into departments. And we go at marketing, let's look at, they prepare their scorecard. Let's look at operations, they prepare the scorecard. And so forth and so on.
Yep.
So we go a bit more in depth. I'm not going to spend too much time on this. I'll do a whole podcast on what you should be measuring, why you should be measuring. And I'll actually run through our scorecard on that. So, and you can run that podcast with me. That'll be helpful. So anything you want to say about that?
So the power of this section is that's where you draw out issues from the year.
Nice.
That's where the power lies, because you're now looking at what happened over the year. You're looking at all the small numbers, working out why didn't it work? Why did it work? What did we implement? And you pull out issues, but you don't discuss the issues there. You're just identifying what happened.
Okay. Key thing there is do not solve the problem there. Oh, this is, you listen to this right now, watching this right now, you think that's easy. That is hard. You just want to add your little 2 cents. You just want to say one thing. You just want to find out what was going on. You might find out something that you didn't realize was an issue and you're irritated about it and you want to solve it there. Stop. That's just a brain dump.
Yep.
And that's just so nice. Actually, we had one of my inner circle members ask me, do you ever come to an annual or quarterly with a pre-decided agenda? And honestly, you almost never have. You might have key points as a visionary you want to drive through, but those are like at the back of your mind. Because honestly, when you do this correctly, the issues come up.
Yep. And the idea is you go into an annual with a cleared issues list because you're starting a new year.
Yeah.
You want to pull out issues that you've identified from the past year and then work on it from there.
And often what you think is an issue, the biggest issue, pales into consideration when you actually look at the numbers. I know this happens to me many times. You go, oh, I think this is an issue. I think we should focus on this. And you look at the numbers, you're like, whoa, actually that issue is only an issue because of that.
Yes.
So the problem is never the problem. Great. So once we looked at our scorecard, once we look at our numbers, you are, the person running the meeting anyway, is writing down as many of the things that we speak about. So when we go through a scorecard, that's an issue, that number's an issue, that's something, why is that an issue, etc. We write down. The whole time we are collating a list. Once we've done our scorecard review, what's next?
So just at the end of the scorecard review, you run through the rocks from the previous quarter to see whether they were done or not done. Again, we're looking for a specific completion rate. Around 80% of your rocks have to be done. Then we also grade the quarter and the year.
Yeah.
So everybody gives their opinion about how they think the year went on a very simple scoring system, A to E. A was exceptional, E was horrendous.
Yeah.
And everybody just gives what they think or how they think the year went. We get an average score. The reason we do it is then we measure year on year to see where we've done as a team, how we've done as a team.
Yeah, I mean, when I wanted to do this podcast quickly, I knew that it would be really tough for me. Every one of these things I'm talking about are a podcast on their own, right?
Yeah.
So, but we're in December. And I think if all you get from this is just how in-depth we go to get the results we do. And I have businesses that I've started from scratch and taken from 0 to 1 million in a short space of time and et cetera, new businesses, and we still do the same structure. The reason I'm pre-framing that is because most people listening to this right now might not know what a rock is. So a rock is, we in the previous quarter, we've sat down and we've decided what each of us at the leadership table, the only person that doesn't have to take a rock, if you will, or a big thing they want to achieve in that quarter, is your visionary, okay? And there's a reason for that, which I'll explain at a later stage. But we all, one of our lessons with the rocks is less is more. The less you have, actually, the better, because there's a saying, if everything's important, nothing's important. If you write down 7 rocks, A, there, and you get them all done, they were probably to-dos,
yep,
not rocks. And B, you almost, no one ever gets 7 rocks done.
No, you can't.
We limited down to 3, yeah?
Yeah.
3. So 3 rocks, previous quarter. What do you think? What you know, most important things. Here's the best way to think of a rock. Is if all you got done was that 1, 2, or 3 things, the whole quarter, would it be a can it still be a record quarter? That's a powerful, to, if you will, thing to get done in that quarter. So once we've done our scorecard review, we've analyzed our previous rocks. Very yes. important, because we go around the circle. There's a big reason for this. And then you have to say whether your rock was done or not done. No justification allowed. And that creates a real nice, healthy tension in the room. And trust me, after one quarter of saying not done many times, you do not want to be that guy that says not done again. No. You hustle like you've never hustled in your entire life to get that thing done before you do it, and which is the power of measuring.
Yes, exactly.
And the power of measuring. Most people, small businesses, will often say this to me. Yes, Ryan, but we did our quarterly meeting or our weekly meeting and there was no accountability. We went around and because you're supposed to do this at your weekly meetings too, about the previous week's to-dos. So when you go around the weekly meeting and you go, Quinton, you said last meeting you were going to phone Mary, done or not done, and you say, and then the complaint I get from a lot of my newer business folk is that everyone just goes around the circle and says not done. And then, but here's the key. The reason that is okay in your environment if it's happening is because you're letting people justify. You want them to wallow in the silence. So, and it's painful. And the room changes, the tension room changes, and that's what you need. So the reason people will do it every single week without giving a hoot, really, is because they're allowed to do this. If someone asks me
did you phone Mary?
If I go, no, but one of the things is I was just about to phone Mary, and I've actually phoned her, and I've left a message, but...
Is it done or not done?
Well, it...
Done or not done?
Not done.
Is it an issue?
No, I just didn't do it. Let's carry it over.
There we go.
Very powerful. See, now he didn't let me justify. You know, like if it's on the to-do list or it's a rock, it's not done, which is at these meetings, which is very powerful. So let's wrap that up next.
So now we've essentially closed off the year. So we've looked at the year, we've done the review, we know it's done or not done, it's complete or not complete, it's finished. Then forget about the year that's passed, because now you're moving forward. First thing we do then is something called an organizational checkup, or with the team health. We check it. It's like a trust building exercise. Would you describe it as that?
Mm-hmm. It is.
We get a bit personal and we work on things that, as people in the leadership team, we need to hear or learn to focus on, or things that we need to start doing or stop doing. And it's a safe enough environment to be able to say that to each other. So it is, I think a lot of people will try and gloss over this part because it becomes so uncomfortable. But it really is important to, in that type of environment, to just be honest with each other. And we do certain activities to really push ourselves to say these things.
So then we move into an exercise, essentially a trust building exercise.
Yeah.
And there's variations of that. All trust building exercises are really just finding out more about a person and then verbalizing that so everyone can find out, and then they're on more context understanding of the other person. So you can do like Colby exercises, we do certain exercises. But if you go to another resource, which I'll point you towards, is a fantastic book that everybody should read, and it is 5 Dysfunctions of a Team.
Yeah.
If you go to the back of the book, it gives you a whole list of potential trust building exercises. There is something called a people analyzer, which you take your core values, and then you actually, this sounds very, if you will, it sounds very judgmental, if you will, but you take your core values, and then every person gets a chance, the whole leadership team will go and analyze you according to the core values that you set. And they might say, this is the analysis. It's either they do it most of the time, they do it none of the time, or they do it some of the time. That's kind of the analysis, right? And we'll go, let's say, leader always goes first, and they'll go, Ryan, core value number one is whatever. Put a plus, minus. We go around the circle. Next one is that, and we go around. And then you get that read back to you. And it's a super humbling experience. And if you're watching this now, when you've got a set of core values, it's not that you, as the leader, you're always going to nail it. That's the point. The core values protects you from yourself. And everyone thinks like, if you don't have core values, you just perform at a higher, everyone performs at a higher basis when we do that, when we hold each other accountable to core values. If one of our core values is to show up, one of my team members might say, well, you haven't really been showing up as much, or one of my core values in the business is early, prepared, and present. They may be, well, you know, you haven't always been that. Or one of our core values in the business is high energy. Mm-hmm. They'll call us on that. And then we've been called many times by our team members on it, but it's so powerful, because the point is, it lifts the whole standard, right? So very powerful process, but it starts with having core values. If you don't have core values, you're in trouble with that exercise. We do another exercise called the one thing. One of my favorite exercises,
yes,
where you ask someone variations of this, but the gist of it is one thing that you go around the circle, let's say it's Quentin's time, and then we go around the circle and we go, one thing he is great at, that's just fantastic, his superpower type thing.
Yep.
We go around the circle and we write it down. And then the next thing is one thing he should start or stop doing. So one, maybe, look, we really think you should stop coming to that meeting, or I think you should stop responding that way, or I think you should stop... etc. Or I think you should start doing that again that you weren't doing. And it's super to the point, but super powerful.
Yeah.
People are prepared to say things that you that often they wouldn't say if you're in another context.
And that's all done exactly because of the context. The context has been set. So everybody's safe to say what they need to say. It's really lovely. It's really powerful.
Tell us about the white elephant.
So this is something that we have. It's like ours has now become a pig. It's a little toy that we have. We have like lots of stress balls and things, but this white elephant or the pig is, if somebody's got something to say that they feel nobody else is saying, they can pick this up and say, like, there's the white elephant here. They put it on the table, the floor becomes theirs.
Nice.
And they then can say what they really feel they need to say that people aren't addressing.
So the essence of it is that you've got a prop on the table
that
gives you permission to say whatever you want when you grab it.
Yes.
And boy, it's beautiful, because sometimes just, you know, everyone's skirting around an issue and something just needs to be said. And sometimes someone's like, needs to just grab it and go, look, I'm just going to call it, just call the white elephant in the room. And it is actually that you are da 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 da, or that I am da 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 da. And it's just a powerful thing to be able to do. So once we've done that process, a trust building exercise, go to the back of 5 Dysfunctions of a Team. You'll get a lot of them. They're very, very powerful. And by the way, that whole book's very powerful. You should do a book study on that book with your team. Next one.
Next thing we do is we have a document which we use to plan for our 1, 3, and 10-year goals. And it's basically a document which guides every aspect of the business. It's a blueprint for it,
really. You can do 1, 3, and 5, 1, 3, and 10.
Yeah.
We can play around a little bit. But yeah, we've always got that, and we relook at that every year.
Yeah. So what we do is we relook at our core values.
Mm-hmm.
We reassess them. We reassess our purpose statement, our niche. We look at our target market. We look at our 1, 3, and 10-year plan. It's basically checking that this still applies. Have things changed? Are our core values still appropriate? Do we need to change them?
Do your core values ever change?
Yes.
All the time. Like,
yeah.
Obviously, we're going quite some time now, so we've worked out a lot of things, but we still review core values every quarter. Yeah,
we have to.
It was like, oh, freaking out about your core values, and they're set in stone. No, they're not set in stone. They get reviewed every quarter. Because what if you had a shit core value that actually didn't drive the business forward? It's important to review that. Greg, what else do you look at that?
So core values are reviewed, then we look at our purpose statement.
Yep.
So are we still following what we say, why we exist? Are we still following that? Are we still... have we identified our niche? Has our niche changed?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then we look at that 10-year target and we look at it. Are our measurables correct? We do the same with the 3-year and the 1-year.
Hard. 10 years hard, eh?
Very, very difficult.
Hard. What has helped us a little bit is, imagine the business if you're not there. So if the business continues to grow, because like often what happens, I know that I did this, I would filter it through my personal position of where I want to be. But remember that this, we want looking at the business comes first. So then you've got to almost go, okay, well, if the business is still growing at the rate that any investor would want it to grow, what would it look like? And then you're always going to take yourself out of it. But yeah, Charlie, and that's changed dramatically for us.
Completely.
Yeah.
It changes every year. And I think that's the point, is that you are reviewing it and you're learning. So you're learning more about your ability to predict.
And then 3 year?
3 year. So we run through 3 year. We then actually, for the 3 year thing, we look at revenue and we look at profit margins and we look at what we think it will look like.
So talk about that. So just quickly, this 1 year and 3 year plans specifically are tiny little boxes, right? Mm-hmm. So these are the things you're going to look at. You want to put a date down.
Yeah.
You also want to put down a few measurables.
Yes.
Okay. The key ones we look at is revenue and then profit margin.
Yes.
So we want to just basic percentage profit margin, revenue, and we write those down. Then underneath that, we have something called measurables. In the measurables, we write down what the key indicators to make those revenues happening, like what's our average, what's our average visit fee?
Yes.
What is our PVA or our average customer lifetime value at that stage to get to that? There could be many, many things, but you're trying to just a few key measurables, key measurables to make sure that happens. And then you have a little bit of a picture of what it looks like.
Yes.
And what it looks like might be, he's trying to find the team a little bit. Do we have X amount of people? Do we have X amount of sites? What do you think the business might have to look like for us to achieve that? Well, we may need an extra operations, we may need an extra IT, we may need an extra marketing. Then you start talking about that now.
Yeah.
And it gets pretty heated. It's powerful. Do you know how I know that our team, we had the best annual we've ever had? And I walked out of the meeting with you and I said to you, best meeting we've ever had, because we got super heated. And it was so cool. Everyone was just so cool with it. And here's what you have to understand. Man, when you start getting driven to this, healthy teams argue. Why? Because they feel comfortable enough to. I mean, Kay and Danny, our regional managers, etc., like they are kind of way more in the heat, if you will, than me. I'm a visionary in the business, so floating in the clouds. And sometimes that tension is good, because what will happen is they will feedback stuff to me that I'm unaware of, but it's my value to the business to be floating in the clouds. But then it's just that meeting of that at times that is so powerful, but it does get super heated, but in a fun, cool way. Like, you know, it's just really, really cool. Cool, what's after that?
So once we've reviewed the documents, so we've done 3 year, then we look at 1 year. And again, we break it down into the measurables of what we need to measure and then what it'll look like at the end of the year. And then we move on to the normal rock setting procedure, because then we have to look at the next 90 days.
Nice.
So we've gone from 10 to 3 to 1 year to 90 days. And we plan then, we set, follow the normal rock setting procedure that we have.
I'll do a podcast on that specifically. Again, the keys for you guys just to understand is that all we're trying to identify is the 3 to 7 most important things for the business to achieve first. Then we allocate those to people.
Yep.
Once that's done, because that's a discussion point. And then each person has a chance to choose extra ones that they may have only taken one of the business rocks. And then they may have more capacity for one or two more rocks. And then they will choose that themselves. And we go around the circle. Everyone has to read out their things. And then as a team, we'll decide whether those are good rocks or bad rocks.
Yep.
And we'll guide them a little bit. But it's a very powerful process. Once rocks are set,
then we move into the issues list from the day. So throughout the day, you've been writing down issues that have come up. You keep writing them down. And that's at the end of the day, you get this list up in front of everybody. And you have to go through a process of working out where the issue goes.
Yeah.
Is it an issue that needs to be discussed today?
Yeah.
Like, is it a big issue that you need everybody around the table?
For context, there could be 150 things written on the board now. There could be 50 things written on the board right now. So first thing we decide is what issues do we need to discuss today? And it's a first come, first serve. What I mean by this is sometimes it might be your issue that you really need help with from the table, and you're like, I really want to talk about it. And that's good. When you hear people shouting out about wanting to talk about the issues, that's healthy.
Yes.
And then so we just choose 3.
Yeah.
And then we keep choosing 3 depending on time.
Yes, that's it.
I just want to caveat one thing. A lot of people would rate a meeting based on how many issues they get to, and I want to just give you the opposite view of that. We can have an amazing meeting and we only solve one issue. That is, the point is to stick with the issue until it's solved in that environment. It's not about how many issues you solve. As Brian Tracy says, eat the frog, right? So you want to, like, that one that no one wants to kind of solve, and you want to always push it to the bottom of the list because you know it's freaking hard. That's the one you want to do in that context.
I mean, we've done it. We've spent over an hour, a whole meeting on one issue. And that's what you have to do.
Oh, that's a weekly meeting, eh?
Yeah.
So we spend 90 minutes, and sometimes we spend a whole hour. But how many people even dedicate that in their business? It's crazy. After we've done that, we finish up.
Yep, so we conclude the day. It's like a wrap-up, a conclusion. Everybody just writes down how they feel or where their head is at. You ask the question, were your expectations met, yes or no? And then we grade ourselves on the meeting. How did we do as a team from a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being amazing, outstanding, 1 being horrendous? We have to rate ourselves.
And we do that every single week, by the way.
Every single week we grade our meetings, and then the annual you grade as well to have that point of comparison.
Yeah, cool. Someone's watching this right now and going, wow, I can't believe it. It sounds like a lot of work. Yep, it's a lot of work. Yes, yep, it's a lot of structure. Start thinking of your business like a business, you know? I don't care what you do. If you're a hairdresser, a cleaner, a chiropractor, I don't care. Think this is what it needs to run a business. And right now, the biggest challenge with high margin industries, chiropractic, physiotherapy, dentistry, etc., is that you make too much margin, meaning you can hack it, you can do it badly, and still make a living. And all that does is actually lead you down the path of mediocrity. Because A, you're making a profit, so why does anything have to change? But the actual running of the business is still running freaking poorly. If I take you out of the business, Mr. Rockstar, Superstar, does the business still function? Is there still a good profit margin? And 9 times out of 10, trust me, I look at a lot of accounts. You know, the truth of the matter is that most chiropractors, most physios, most dentists even, less so dentists, but most chiropractors are certainly broke. And someone watching it right now is like, I can't believe you just said that. Yep, I said it. They're broke. They might be doing pretty well for where they thought they might be one day, but if you ask them to just look at their bank accounts, one, we get taxed the most. So what you're earning, please don't tell me what you're earning. I want to know what you keep. And it's a real thing to consider. And this is one of the biggest fundamentals with it. So listen, I hope that today was helpful. You know, Quinton and I have had the privilege of growing these businesses together and learning along the way. And we're still learning all the time. But listen, get on it. Plan now for 2020. This should be done. Should be done already. And don't go into 2020 without this done. At the very least, get your team together and start talking about it, even if it's done badly. I've given you some resources. I love and appreciate you guys. Quinton, thanks for all the help, dude.
Thank you very much for having me.
See you soon.